Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 41 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
Jim Stemper and Mark Klein, they do a wonderful job.
Rowan County Superintendent says his district has done its best to make sure students are safe.
The name of the 15-year-old accused of killing two and injuring 19 others has been released.
Two women have died in separate single-vehicle accidents.
A Louisville lawmaker has criticized the governor's proposed changes to Medicaid.
U.S. Representative Thomas Massey has filed for re-election.
In sports, Rowan County girls will host Elliott County.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Rain showers this evening with a chance of snow. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Fifteen-year-old Gabe Parker has been named as the student accused of killing two classmates and injuring nearly 20 others last week at Marshall County High School. In the days since the shooting, social media has been abuzz with rumors that the 15-year-old suspect may have been bullied. Friends and others who knew Parker, a sophomore who played trombone in the school band, describe him as a shy, redheaded grandma's boy. One student who spoke with a Louisville Courier-Journal with her parents' permission said she'd heard those rumors, but she could not say whether or not they were true. Marshall County schools could not be reached for comment. Parker faces charges of murder and first-degree assault, and prosecutors hope to try him as an adult. He is expected to face a grand jury on February 13th. A 2017 study published by the American Academy of Pediatrics found that students who have been bullied are twice as likely to bring weapons to school than peers who haven't experienced bullying.
Responding to the shootings last week at Marshall County High School that left two students dead and nearly 20 people hurt, Rowan Superintendent Marvin Moore says the district has done its best to make sure its schools are as safe as possible. For one thing, Moore points out that Rowan's middle and high schools each have their own school resource officers, adding the district is lucky to have veteran law enforcement officers Jim Stamper and Mark Klein.
I always say the safety and welfare of kids come first, and we're going to do everything we can to continue doing that. But when you got somebody so mentally deranged to a point that they actually want to bring a gun in, you can't stop everything, but we're doing everything we can to make sure the safety and welfare of our kids come first.
Moore adds that last year's renovations to Rowan Senior High School included a locking entryway that prevents any visitor to the school from entering unless they are buzzed in. He says the facility received an A-plus rating in the latest Safe Schools audit.
A woman has died after a single vehicle accident in Floyd County. Kentucky State Police told WSAZ Mary Reisner was ejected from her van after it left the road for unknown reasons, rolled several times, and came to a stop against a structure. She died at that scene. KSP are investigating the accident. They say that speed may be a contributing factor.
Three Laurel County Sheriff's deputies are on leave pending investigation of a fatal shooting that occurred Sunday afternoon. WKYT reports the incident occurred along Highway 229 when officers responded to calls of a man firing shots outside his home. 45-year-old Anthony McDaniel was ordered to drop his weapon when police arrived at the scene. They say the man instead began firing at the officers. McDaniel was then shot and killed by police. KSP Trooper Lloyd Cochran spoke with reporters.
Your alarm bells go off when you do respond to a call where officers are being told that someone does have a firearm, so you are a little more prepared, but you just never know what's going to happen.
Cochran adds that taking a life is never easy for a law enforcement officer.
An accident late this morning left one woman dead in Scott County. Police tell WKYT the woman veered off the road in Stamping Ground, hitting a parked car. She was transported to Georgetown Community Hospital, where she later died. No one else was injured in the collision. The woman's name has not been released, but family members say a medical issue may have caused the crash.
Governor Matt Bevin has proposed cutting a scholarship that has helped several students go to college. WMKY's Chaz Jenkins reports.
The Robinson Scholarship was established in 1997 from a trust set up by timber magnate E.O. Robinson in the 1930s. He deeded the 15,000-acre Robinson Forest to the University of Kentucky and stated that income from its coal and timber be spent on reforestation, agriculture, and education. According to the Lexington Herald Leader, real money for the scholarship appeared 60 years later when parts of the forest were mined. In the early 1990s, a UK committee came up with an idea to give full scholarships to students from eastern Kentucky. They would be able to attend UK or community colleges, and the scholars had to be first-generation college-goers who are facing serious financial problems. Students were chosen in the 8th grade and received mentoring and trips to Lexington and beyond to get them better acquainted to their future college career. The scholarship is one of 70 other programs being cut in Bevin's proposed budget. For WMKY News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Louisville Representative Jim Wayne delivered a critical speech addressing the governor's plan for work requirements for Medicaid recipients. Wayne says Governor Bevin's plan would remove 95,000 people from the Medicaid system, which he believes infringes on their right to health care. The Louisville Democrat also pointed out many unanswered questions in regards to the plan's administration and cost.
Who's going to administer this program? How's it going to be administered? How are you going to provide transportation to those people in the hills and hollers so they can get to their volunteer services down at the public library or the senior center, wherever they have to go? There are serious, serious issues that need to be addressed.
Wayne says the untested plan makes Kentucky a, quote, guinea pig for the nation. The governor's office says the plan has potential to save the state an estimated $2.5 billion and drive able-bodied Medicaid recipients to find employment.
U.S. Representative Thomas Massey of Garrison filed for re-election this week. WMKY's Peyton Stewart has the story.
The Lewis County native and lone Republican in the election is hoping to gain a fourth term at U.S. Congress. Democrats Seth Hall of LaGrange, Christina Lord of Milton, and Patty Piott of Bellevue will face off in the May primary. Massey was first elected to Congress in 2012 when Republican U.S. Representative Jeff Davis announced he wouldn't seek re-election in 2012. Before filing to retain his seat, Massey gained the support and endorsement of U.S. Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, who called him, quote, one of the strongest supporters of the House, and said that he has gone to heroic lengths to defend civil liberties. Massey filed to run for the office last Tuesday. The last day to file for the office is January 30th. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Peyton Stewart.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main, next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Moorhead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream, and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday. Catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
With 36 flu-related deaths this season in Kentucky, some area hospitals are imposing stricter visitation policies. St. Clair Healthcare announced today that children under 14 years of age and anyone experiencing flu-like symptoms should not visit the hospital for now. St. Clair spokeswoman Valerie Campbell says patients' immune systems are already weak.
It's one of those things when you have sick patients and then you have visitors who are entering the building who have the flu. It's very contagious and it spreads, and so we want to make sure our patients are getting better and they're not getting worse.
Campbell says it's also important for hospital employees to avoid flu virus, since they are caring for those who are most vulnerable to the illness.
State and local leaders cut the ribbon on the new Rowan campus of the Maysville Community and Technical College on Friday, calling it a golden opportunity in education and economic growth. The 87,000-square-foot post-secondary center for excellence is located at the MMRC Regional Business Park off I-64 and Kentucky 801. Campus Director Russ Ward says the facility includes 28 state-of-the-art classrooms and several industrial laboratories, which aim to provide students with a hands-on, modern manufacturing environment.
I hope with this facility, one, it allows expand opportunities for students, more opportunities for them to, you know, get those foundational skills that they need to go out and get some of these high-wage, high-demand jobs. And I think as much as anything, with it being located here in the industrial park, we're hoping it helps some economic growth within the region. You know, I know the Industrial Economic Development Council and Bob Helton here in the industrial park, you know, they're going to use it as a tool to basically recruit industry.
Ward says construction on the project began in June of 2016 in the midst of a race to secure an extra $7 million in community funding. That money supplemented $21 million in student tuition, made possible by an increase in bonding capacity granted by the state. The brand new Rowan campus kicked off its inaugural semester on January 8th.
State Representative Rocky Adkins is excited about the opening of that new Rowan Campus Center for Maysville Community and Technical College. The Democrat from Moorhead attended last Friday's ribbon-cutting ceremony for the $28 million facility. Adkins says it was great to see a longtime dream of officials from the Kentucky community and technical college system, the state, and the area finally become a reality.
It's been a project that's been planned out, it's been thought about, it's been dreamed about, and to see that vision finally become a reality today, I think it's not only very rewarding for this community, but this entire region that will benefit from this project.
Three-quarters of the funding for the new Rowan Campus Center came from the state's Build Smart initiative. The remaining $7 million for it was raised privately. Adkins calls that a credit to the region and the community.
Rowan County now has a Republican candidate for judge executive. Don Hall, who retired after 17 years as Rowan's jailer in 2014, has filed to run in the GOP's May primary for judge executive. According to Hall, should he win the office, his top goal would be to upgrade the county's roads and bridges, which he believes have been neglected in recent years. He admits that doing that would be costly, but he thinks he could find the needed cash.
And I think that more efficient government would be, it won't generate any more money, but I think from experience dealing with the jail, that oftentimes that you have to learn to do things more efficiently and make your dollars go as far that you can get the biggest bang for your buck, I guess what I'm trying to say.
Hall also wants to provide the Rowan Sheriff Department with more resources to help its battle against the county's drug problem.
Water bills for Martin County residents may jump as much as 50% if a proposed rate hike is approved. Officials requested an emergency rate increase of 49.6% at a Public Service Commission meeting on Friday. The county's water district says they may have to shut down in 60 to 90 days if no action is taken. The request follows a catastrophic infrastructure failure earlier this month. PSC Commissioner Michael Schmidt says the district's leadership is in hot water.
This is by far the worst water district, in my opinion, in the state of Kentucky. The worst run.
The district is nearly $2 million in debt. They estimate nearly $7 to $8 million in capital is needed to continue providing safe drinking water to residents.
After months of preparation, Pike County is introducing a needle exchange program to combat the ongoing opioid epidemic. EKB-TV reports that the Pike County Health Department's needle exchange program is starting to pick up momentum. Stephanie Bentley, the nursing supervisor at the Pike County Health Department, says gaining the trust of those battling drug addiction can sometimes be difficult.
It's hard to get those people in and have that feeling of trust, like really we're only here, you know, and stuff for the needle exchange. It's not that, you know, anybody's watching. We're not getting the information. We don't know who they are, you know, and we don't need that information to provide that service.
The needle exchange program will be held every Monday on the first floor of the Pike County Health Department at 5 p.m. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area tonight, scattered rain and snow showers before 7 p.m., then scattered snow showers before 5 a.m. Mostly cloudy with lows around 21, some wind gusts as high as 15 miles per hour, and there's a 50% chance of new snow accumulation of less than a half an inch possible. On Tuesday, scattered flurries between 5 and 8 a.m. Otherwise, sunny on Tuesday with highs near 32. Mostly clear on Tuesday night with lows around 20. Looking at temperatures around the region, it is currently sitting at 35 degrees in Flemingsburg, 48 degrees in Ashland, 36 in Winchester, 48 in Inez, and 41 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, a recycling center has received a new machine that could open up more environmental opportunities. WMKY's Chaz Jenkins has the story.
Thanks to a grant given by the Division of Waste Management through the Kentucky Pride Organization, the Mason County Recycling Center received a glass aggregate machine. Recycling manager Steve Froge explains how the machine works.
The bottles will go into like an old hammer mill that just breaks the glass up into pieces. It then goes through a screening process where it takes out caps and labels, and then the glass pieces fall through that screen into the trommel. And this actually spins it, and it spins it at such a high rate that the glass bounces off of itself and breaks all the sharp edges off to where when it comes out the output conveyor, there's no sharpness.
Froge has tested the machine out several times. He says the glass comes out in three different sizes and guarantees it is 100% safe for use.
Part of it is actually almost just like sand. The next stage up is the in-between, of course, and then the larger pieces are probably about a 3/8 diameter, about like a small pebble. We've ran now about 20 ton through the machine since we've gotten it, and I've played with, really that's what I've done, is played with about every box that's came out, and I have yet to pick up a handful of it and rub it and get cut.
According to studies done by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, normal glass bottles can take nearly 1 million years to break down. However, Froge says once it's processed through the machine, it is environmentally safe.
As far as putting the product out, glass is all organic to start with. It's really made from sand and a few other products, so you're not really putting anything back out there that wasn't there to begin with.
Froge says his facility is the only one in the region who has this type of machine. He says this allows them potential ways to receive and recycle glass from all over eastern Kentucky.
The perfect scenario is I can get this machine up and running, and I can find a market for it, and then we can start taking in glass even from other areas that we haven't been getting anything else from. If we can run it through our system and utilize it somehow, then hopefully we'll be able to start taking it from anybody that's wanting to get rid of it. We'll be able to take care of it, deal with it, and put it to use.
To officially become property of the center, they must have 5 years consistent use with the machine. Some planned uses for the glass include mixing it in with salt for snowy roads, mulch for gardens, and adding it to concrete or blacktop as an aggregate. For WMKY News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
It's 4:48 and 38 degrees on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Ellen Barnett, and we're so happy you've joined us on this Monday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at morehedstate.edu/innovation.
Vikings and Lions. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Round County girls basketball team will try to stay hot as it entertains Elliott County at 7:30. The 11-7 Lady Vikings have won 6 of their last 7 games. Coach Ed Jones says much of the credit for that success goes to a squad's strong defensive work. Rounds held its opponents to an average of under 50 points per game.
We are a defensive team, and we realize that, and we actually take pride in our defense. And so on that thought, I really believe that just about anybody we play, we're going to be outmatched in some games. We don't, you know, we know that. But on the other hand, we think our defense will at least keep us in there.
Elliott County will visit Round with a 6-10 record. There was one bright spot in Morehead State's basketball team's 92-76 loss on Saturday at Austin Peay. Little-used freshman forward James Baker came off of MSU's bench to record 10 points and 7 rebounds in just 19 minutes of action. Coach Preston Spreadlin says the 6'6 Meade County product hung tough against the physical Governors.
Right now, it's not quite his game yet, but I'll give him credit. He fought, did the best he could with him, and he's got a fantastic attitude, that James Baker. And he makes a mistake, he'll come over and say, Coach, that one's on me. He doesn't fight it. What can I do? He asks a lot of questions. And so for that, I'm proud of James. He's going to be a terrific player for us.
Morehead State's basketball teams are getting ready to host Tennessee State in OVC action on Thursday night. Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari thinks his young Wildcats took a major step forward during Saturday's come-from-behind 83-76 victory at No. 7 West Virginia. Calipari says it took a good effort by several of his players to overcome the Mountaineers.
To come on the road and be down 18 in a top 10 team is a, for us playing all freshmen, I mean freshmen, sophomore, that's who we are. To be able to do that in this environment means we're growing up.
One of those freshmen, Kevin Knox, led UK with 34 points. Now at 16-5 this season, the Big Blue return to SEC play tomorrow at Rupp Arena when it faces Vanderbilt. The new college basketball AP Top 25 poll is out. WMKY's Greg Jenkins has details.
There is not much movement at the top of this week's poll. Villanova remains the top team, followed by Virginia and Purdue at 2 and 3. Despite losing at home to Virginia, Duke remained in the number 4 spot, while Michigan State jumped a spot to round out the top 5. After dropping out of last week's poll, Kentucky is back, this week at number 21 following its win over West Virginia. Auburn is the first of 4 teams from the SEC in the poll, coming in at number 11, followed by Tennessee, Kentucky, and Florida. Louisville once again received votes, but not enough to crack the top 25. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
The New England Patriots and Philadelphia Eagles are in Minnesota preparing for Sunday's Super Bowl 52. Speaking at the team's send-off rally today, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady assured fans he and his teammates are ready for the challenge.
Thank you guys for your support all year. It's been an incredible journey. We got one more to go. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of hard work. We're playing a great team, but I'll tell you what, we got a locker room full of guys that are ready for the challenge.
New England will be trying for its 6th Super Bowl win in 15 years, while Philadelphia will be looking for its first ever Super Bowl championship after playing in the game just twice in its history. New England and Philadelphia faced each other in Super Bowl 39. The Patriots won that game 24-21. With just over 2 weeks before his team's 2018 season opener, Morehead State baseball coach Mike McGuire continues to say the Eagles have to practice outside as much as possible. According to McGuire, they can't simulate the kind of things they need to work on indoors.
To be able to have a more of a typical full-scale inter-squad is, you know, how you really get better. And you know, we've had years here where we've gotten out a lot, and we've had years here where we've gotten out very little. I do know it's advantageous those years where we get out a lot. You get a lot of extra reps.
The baseball Eagles face UMass Lowell on February the 13th down in South Carolina. The Cincinnati Reds are trying to drum up some fan interest in advance of the 2018 season. Several members of the organization, including players, coaches, front office staff, and broadcasters, have been hitting the road to visit towns in Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana as part of the club's annual winter caravan. Manager Brian Price says he's been enjoying himself.
Being on the bus with all the guys, I mean, it's a very fraternal sport. The reason that we all stay in this business is because it's so fraternal. We like being around each other. We love the game. That keeps everything, we're all connected in that regard. And then the young players keep us young. So it's fun to be around them.
The Reds caravan made a stop last Thursday here in Morehead. The team's pitchers and catchers report for spring training in Goodyear, Arizona on February the 13th. One other note from Major League Baseball, after lengthy discussions between team owner Paul Dolan and MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred, the Cleveland Indians will remove the Chief Wahoo logo from its uniform starting in 2019. The mascot logo, which has brought controversy for being considered racist by some over the past several years, has been used in various ways by the club since 1947. The logo will remain on the team's uniforms and hats, and the team will still sell merchandise featuring the logo during the upcoming 2018 season. Finally, in sports, the Ashland School Board is reviewing plans to make improvements to the Paul G. Blazer track and soccer complex. WMKY's Ryan Fry reports on that.
According to the Daily Independent, the plans address slope erosion at the complex resulting from cracks in its drainage pipes. The board has consulted with the architectural firm Sherman Carter Barnhart regarding the issue. While not having made a final decision, the board is considering a plan that would utilize soil nails and a concrete cover to stabilize the slope. Other options include covering the soil nails with a grass cover or utilizing a retaining wall. Once an option is chosen, work would begin at the earliest upon the conclusion of the spring track season in May. The job is expected to be completed by August. For WMKY, I'm Ryan Fry.
That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball hosts Tennessee State for a doubleheader on Thursday. The women's game begins at 5:15 p.m. and the men tip off at 7:30. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks posted the biggest drop of this young year after the 10-year Treasury yield shot higher, raising concerns higher interest rates would snuff out the bull market, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 177.23 at 26,439.48. The S&P 500 was down 19.34 at 2853.53, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 39.27 at 7466.50. The benchmark 10-year yield broke above 2.7% to reach its highest level since April 2014. Fears of higher inflation are sparking the sharp rise in bond rates this year. The CBOE Volatility Index, the VIX Index, which is widely considered the best gauge of fear in the market, rose 24% to finish at 13.77. Utilities, telecom, and real estate were among the worst-performing sectors, and of course, these sectors are negatively impacted by higher interest rates. And on the other hand, Goldman Sachs was the best Dow performer, or I should say the best performer among the Dow industrial stocks. It was up 1.625%, and of course, Goldman Sachs is considered a beneficiary of higher interest rates with their trading desk. This will be a big week for Wall Street in terms of earnings reports coming out, and also the Federal Reserve's latest monetary policy decision is expected to be announced on Wednesday. Later in the week, the U.S. government will release the latest employment figures. And in the commodities markets, oil was down 1%, finishing at $65.45 a barrel. Gold was down almost 1% at $1,339.70 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were down as the Stock 600 index finished with a loss of 0.2%. In Asia, stocks were even weaker, with the Shanghai Composite down 1% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down just over 0.5%. Among Dow industrial stocks, as mentioned, the best performer was Goldman Sachs, followed by Walmart. The worst performers in the Dow were Caterpillar and Apple. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Dr. Pepper, Snapple, and Gilead Sciences, and the worst performers were Wynn Resorts and Iron Mountain. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 5 cents at 72.38, CSX down 68 cents at 57.23, AEP down 85 cents at 67.90, AK Steel down 4 cents at 6.30, Marathon Petroleum down $1.60 at 70.14, and Community Trust Bank was down 35 cents to finish at 47.75. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 30 years. The Center for Gifted Studies is now accepting applications for middle and high school summer camps, including the 35th Annual Advanced Placement Summer Institute, June 25th through 29th. More information at 270-745-6323 or online at wku.edu/gifted.
Taking one last look at the WMKY weather forecast for tonight. Mostly cloudy with lows around 21. There's a 50% chance of new snow accumulation of less than a half an inch possible. On Tuesday, scattered flurries early in the morning. Sunny highs near 32 and mostly clear on Tuesday night with lows around 40. It's currently 38 degrees here in Moorhead. Temperatures dropping fast.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Logan Pemberton, Peyton Stewart, Arlo Barnett, Sean Delaney, Braxton Howard, Greg Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. WUKY's Josh James chipped in, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's Chaz Jenkins. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.